Topic is Karban Pesach Mitzrayim. Also, Parshas Chodesh. We're reading Parshas Chodesh this Shabbos. And if you ask a typical person what exactly Parshas Chodesh is about, what would the response be? Chodesh Lachem. Right. The mitzvah is Chodesh Lachem to appoint mitzvah to appoint months to establish the months, the Jewish months of the year, and that's probably all they would say and all they know about. And if you read the Pesukim, that's in fact only the first two Pesukim of the Parsha. We have another 18 to go in the rest of Parsha Chodesh. So I thought it's worthwhile to go through not just the Pesukim, but a little bit about some of the Halach and the Gemaras and Rishonim, what exactly the rest of Parsha Chodesh is about, to appreciate it this week and also appreciate Pesach as it approaches. So if we read through the Pesukim just quickly and summarize, give you an overview of what goes on here on the first page. First, of course, Hashem gives the mitzvah. V'yomer Hashem el Moshe ve'Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim l'emor. Hachodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodeshim rishon hu lachem l'chad she'ashana. You should have the months for you, Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael should set up the months. And the first month, of course, is Nisan. And then he goes on to the rest of the parsha, saying, Dabru el kadas Yisrael. Say to Klai Yisrael, l'emor be'asor lachodesh hazeh v'yichu lahem ish sel veis avos sel abayis. On the 10th of the month of Nisan, you should take a seh. The next few psukim discuss what type of seh you have to have. It has to be a zachar, tamim, a ben shana. Who should eat? Who should be part of the group of people eating it? That's the next few psukim. Pasuk Vav has a very interesting thing we'll get to later on in this year. Pasuk Vav says, v'hayalachem lemishmeres. You should have this seh. You should protect this seh. Guard over this seh. Adar ba'as ayom. Because they only do the shech thing on the 14th. So why were they having it on the 10th? Why do they have to collect it or get the seh on the 10th? They have to be protected for 4 days for some reason we'll see later on. V'shachatu oso kol kal das yisrael ben harbaim. And then they would shech them. They would shech the Karban Pesach on the 14th. Pasuk Zayin. V'lochu min hadam v'nosim al sheh ha-mezuzos v'al-mashko v'al-batim asher yochlu osom bahem. Then you should take the blood from the seh. You should smear it on the mezuzah, on the mashkof above, on the houses that they ate in. What was the function of this blood here? Seems that somehow the blood allowed them to eat it, because the next few psukim discuss about achlas abasar, and then how you should eat it. You shouldn't eat it na, you shouldn't eat it raw, you should cook it, it's li'esh, it shouldn't be mevushal. Veloso siru pasuk yud, you shouldn't leave it over. Vekacha tochlu es masnechem, oso masnechem, how you have to dress when you eat it. And then pasuk yud beis, v'avarti v'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh, I, Kadosh Baruch Hu, will go through Eretz Mitzrayim. V'kesi kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim, me'odumad behema, I'm going to kill all the b'chors from people to animals. I'm going to judge the God of Mitzrayim. Now this is the purpose of the Adam. The Adam was as an oath, as a sign. The purpose of the Adam, the purpose of the blood, was to be in the doorpost, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should know who is Bnei Israel, who is not. And he will kill all the Bechor from Mitzrayim and save and spare the Bechor from Klal Yisrael. So there are two psukim here which seem to say I'm not sure what the blood is, but for some reason it separates the Maisa, the action of putting blood in the doorpost, and the function of the blood there. Pasuk Zayin tells us what to do with the blood, you put it in the doorposts, and Pasuk Yud Gimel tells us what the purpose was to serve as an oath to protect Am Yisrael. And then the rest of psukim discuss exactly how the Yontif should be celebrated at Pesach, the Shivas HaYomim, Atid Chametz, and it should be Ladoros. So this, the first page, is the entire Parshas HaChodesh, which we'll be reading Mitzvah Hashem this coming Shabbos. The next page now, which we don't read in Parshas HaChodesh, is just the sixth psukim of how Moshe relays over the message to Klal Yisrael. He cuts out a lot of what is said. And Pasuk Chabez, he repeats again the mitzvah of the dam. He said, Lukachtem agudas ezov, utvaltem badam, you should dip it in the dam. Vafsach vigatem amashkof, you should place it on the mashkof and the shem mezuzah. So interesting, a different order here. And then Pasuk Chavgimel, va'avar Hashem lingof es Mitzrayim, Hashem is going to pass over and protect you. V'ra'es adam al mashkof, he'll see the blood there and he'll spare your lives. Here we see the psukim are connected, the maisa, the action of putting the blood in the doorposts, and the purpose of it was to protect Klal Yisrael from being spared from Makas Becharos. So we're trying to understand what exactly is the purpose of the Maisa Zrika, what was the blood on the doorposts. So you look in the Gemara Mesachim Daf Tadi Vavam Aleph, very, very interesting language. The Gemara says there, this is page 2 now, Boi Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir has the following question, Emure Pesach Mitzrayim Hecha Akhtirinu. Emure Pesach, the different limbs and parts of the animal, normally parts of an animal that were part of a carbon would get burnt entirely up on the Mizbeach. You wouldn't necessarily eat them, they would be burnt. So Rabbi Zeir wants to know, the Karban Pesach that happened particularly in Mitzrayim. Okay, we're there. Karban Pesach Ledoros and this Karban Pesach Mitzrayim. What happened in Mitzrayim, there were some differences, and the Mishnah and Tosefta tell us some of the differences. What happened in Mitzrayim is different than what happened Ledoros. So in Mitzrayim, Rabbi Zeir wants to know how or where exactly were they maktir, these emurim? Where do they burn the limbs of the Pesach? So Amar Le Abaye, Uman Lemolan Delo Shviske Ovid. How do you know they just didn't roast them? We'll get to later what exactly roasting means here. Did they roast them to eat it? Did they roast it to just get burnt on the fire? But more importantly, V'od, furthermore, Hotana Rav Yosef, Shloshim Mizbechos Hayusham. No, they had a Mizbech. They had him three Mizbechos, in fact. Al HaMashkof, Al Shem Zuzos, V'sum Midiach Min Yilohavim. There were three Mizbechos. So this implies that the Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim was in fact a karban, and just like any other karban, you need to take that blood, you shecht an animal, you take that blood, you catch the blood, you walk it over to the Mizbech, you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbech. So too in Mitzrayim, although there was no Mizbech, or a real Mizbech, the doorposts served as a Mizbech, and they took the blood of the Seh and sprinkled it or smeared it on top on these doorposts, and they served as a Mizbech. So in fact, the Pesach in Mitzrayim was an actual karban, and the doorpost served as a mizbech. And that's the flow, I guess we'll read back a little bit later, the flow in all the Pesukim. However, you look at the Mechilta, the Medrash on Shmos, wants to know which houses did you actually have to smear the blood on? Let's say you had a couple of houses. You had a house you ate in, you had a house you slept in. So the Pesach said earlier, you would smear it on the houses that you ate in. But what, let's say you had a separate house that you slept in. So the Mechilta writes, quoting the Pasuk, I only know you have to put blood on the houses you actually ate inside. How do you know to include even houses you just slept in? A special house for sleeping. Alabatim, any bias that you were in, whether you only slept in it or only ate in it, every house. Targum Yonason says, V'yisfon, this is number three, V'yisfon min damo, you should place the blood, V'yisfon al train shifi, you should put on the doorpost, V'yilu maskofa, the mashkof above, Milabar abate, D'yochlin yasir v'damchem behun, I know a lot of Aramaic, but thank God we have the parish on the Yonason, Targum Yonason on the next page. He says, the chaven de l'shmira hu ovid, since the purpose of the blood was for shmira, to protect them, so Klal Yisrael, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should know which house Jews lived in, it should be mali, makom achila, or makom shena. What's the difference whether it was a place you ate or whether it was a place you slept? Any place you're going to be, we don't know exactly at what point, maybe chatzos, I guess, wherever you're going to be, whether you're eating, you're in the house where you're eating or the house where you're sleeping, you need the blood there to protect you. The function of the blood was to protect you. It doesn't sound like the function of the blood was to serve as a karbon and to be placed as a mizbeach, but rather the function of blood was actually to protect Am Yisrael. So the two approaches we're saying right now is, was the dam of the seh as shmira, or the dam of the seh was a zrika for karbon? Those are the two approaches. So then there's another target, Yonason, in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Very strange. He says, "V'hi adam nichsas pischa." You should take the blood of the Pesach, v'gzeras mehulsa ma'ariv, and take blood mehulsa. What does mehulsa mean? Like mahol, mila. Take dam mila, u'me'ariv, and mix it together. You're mixing the blood of the Pesach and the blood of the dam mila, and you place that on the houses. Now, what in the world is the blood of dam mila doing with a carbon? We never find anywhere else that dam mila has any relevance to a karbon. Elamai must be the target of Yonason is going with Shitaso, that the whole point of the dam is not for a karbon. Don't compare this to other karbonos. The whole point of the dam is the shmira, to protect, to serve as an os that a Jew lived in this house. So we had to take two different dams, dam Pesach, and also the dam mila, which also, of course, is an os. an oath of Yiddishkeit. Yeah. So I guess they maybe those who didn't have a bris milo, I guess that day, every I guess, my guess, unless I saved it in a jug somewhere in the back room, I don't know. So, but either way, we see the Targum Yonason is understanding the Pesach in Mitzrayim was not a carbon, rather it was for a shmira purpose, as he says, or the Perush says, as an os. So dam Pesach and dam bris are both relevant in that regard as an os, and that's why he mixed them together. There are other indicators, we'll read in the Gemara and Tosafta, that seem to say also that a carbon Pesach was not a carbon. The Pesach was simply something else, perhaps the din of Shemira. So the Gemara Menachos dot pei beis, I'm an aleph, I'm an beis, Pesach gufa minalam, the Gemara wants to know. How do you know Pesach? How do you know that carbon Pesach has to come from a chulin animal? You can't take an animal that's kodosh already, or that's miser, has to be an animal that's chulin, and only that type of animal could be makdish it to be used as a carbon Pesach. How do you know it has to be a chulin animal? So the Tanya, the Gemara writes, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Nemar Pesach b'Mitzrayim, v'nemar Pesach l'doros. Ma Pesach hamur b'Mitzrayim lo ba'ele min achulin. Just like the Pesach in Mitzrayim, we only used chulin animals. A Pesach ha'amur l'doros lo ba'ela min achulin. So too Pesach for the generations was also used only from chulin. There's a gzera shava of Pesach Mitzrayim to Pesach l'doros. Amul Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva responds, v'chidonon efshar mishi efshar. You can't learn something that's possible from something that's impossible. They only had chulin animals in Mitzrayim. They only were able to use chulin animals for the Pesach in Mitzrayim. But perhaps l'doros, a Pesach could come from a non-chulin animal, a hekdesh animal, a meiser animal. Amarlo, afa pishi yefshar, even though it's impossible, it was impossible in Mitzrayim to use anything else, still nonetheless, raya gedola hi v'nilman heimanu. Still nonetheless, it's a great raya, and we are able to learn from Pesach Mitzrayim. Chazer Rabbi Kiva v'dani din acher. Rabbi Kiva went back and he learned a different din. He writes, Mala Pesach Mitzrayim shekein ein ta'on matan damim v'emurin legavi mizbech. You can't learn from Pesach Mitzrayim because Pesach Mitzrayim was different, because it didn't require blood and the limbs going on the Mizbeach. So Tomar, Pesach Dor, Shaton, Matan, Dabin, Veimun, Legabe, Mizbeach? That Karim Pesach Mitzrayim did not require Mizbeach, it didn't require Zrikas Domim. It wasn't a carbon. Pesach Ladoros, of course, was a carbon. Of course, Pesach Ladoros required Mizbeach and sprinkling of the blood. But Pesach Mitzrayim, again, was not a carbon and didn't require a Mizbeach at all. So we see various mem chazal mishonim that seem to indicate whether or not it's a carbon or whether it's just simply a shmira. And so the Chavetzelis thought from the following Tosefta, perhaps both dinim exist. That the Pesach Mitzrayim was both a carbon and also served as a shmira. The Tosefta in Perches, Halach Yudal and Pesachim, says Pesach Mitzrayim lo haya ta'an damim. It didn't require blood. V'chalavim, it didn't require the fats. Legabim Mizbeach. Masha'en came at Pesach Doros. Pesach Mitzrayim didn't require sprinkling of the blood, but the Pesach Doros did require a sprinkling of the blood. Another difference? Pesach Mitzrayim nemar bo v'yigatim el hamashko fel shem zuzos. Masha'en came at Pesach Doros. In Mitzrayim, they had to smear the blood on the doorposts. Masha'en came at Pesach Doros. You don't have to put it on the doorposts. They seem to be the same thing. You don't. The first line of the Tosefta says you don't have to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. Instead, you put it on the doorposts. Isn't that really two sides of the same coin? That you don't require Mizbeach, and you put it on the doorposts? So he wants to explain, they're really addressing, these two lines of the Tosefta are addressing the two dinim that exist by the Karban Pesach. The first line says you don't have to have a Mizbeach mamish. You don't have to actually, the Pesach and Mitzrayim didn't require a real Mizbeach. It required a artificial Mizbeach. That's the first difference. But it still is a carbon, just a different mizbech, a different place where you would be sprinkling the blood. And the second din says, Pesach Mitzrayim required a second din, that of smearing it on the mashkof, not as a mizbech, but as an os, as a shmira. Karban Pesach served as a shmira, and that was the second difference of Pesach Mitzrayim versus Pesach Ladoros. And if you look back at the psukim now, over the first page, everything becomes a little clearer how the psukim were set up. Because the Pesukim, we read in Parshat Chodesh, first in Pasuk Zayin says, V'loku min hadav v'nosim al shtem mezuzos. First you take the blood, you put it on the doorpost, V'ha mashkof, Ahabatim asher yochlu osa behem, on the places where you'd eat them. What's the connection to eating? Yochlu osam. And then it goes on to the next psukim of Ches and Tes and Yud and Yudalf, how exactly everything was eaten. On a normal karban, at what point is the kohen or the baal allowed to eat? What allows them to eat? Anyway, zrika, exactly. Zvachim and nachas. Zvachim. So once the zrika, once you take from a normal karban that's allowed to be, let's say a chatas is eaten by, who eats a chatas? Kohen, right? Who eats a shlamim? What?
Anyone?
No, anyway, I think you mean both, kohen and a baal. The kohen and baal. Who eats an ola?
No one.
No one, right. So for a chatas, where a kohen eats, for shlamim, where the baal and the kohen eat, at what point are you allowed to eat? As Ari said, once you start sprinkling the blood on his back and the zrika is complete, then the kohen or and the baal is allowed to eat. So here too also, once you put the blood on the doorposts, then that allowed them to eat the Karban Pesach, midin karbon. That was the first din of the zrika. The blood was there for the zrika to be a matir for the eating of the karbanos. And that's why the pasuk goes on to explain the din of achila afterwards. But then pasuk Yud Beis starts talking about a different aspect. Va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over Mitzrayim, v'hikasi kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim, he killed all the b'chor. And pasuk Yud Gimel, v'haya adam lachem la'os ha'abatim, the dam was there for an os. This is the second function of the dam. It was there to protect them as a hatzalah, to protect them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the makas b'choros. And that's the second mentioning of dam. And that's also why when Moshe tells Klal Yisrael the dinim, he doesn't talk about any of the dinim of the achila of the Karban Pesach. He just says, "Kechul lachem tzon lemishpachoseichem v'shachatu apesach." Take a tzon and shecht it. That's all he says. But then he goes into detail of take the blood, put it on the doorpost. Va'avar Hashem lin gofes Mitzrayim. He only addresses the din of the hatzalah as the dam serving to protect Klal Yisrael from makas b'choros. He doesn't address here at all the achila because there are two different dinim here. I don't know why it was, but He only spoke to them, at least in the Torah, the second din of that protecting them from makas b'choros. So I think these two dinim are very clear. What goes on, we can appreciate a little more. Now, Parshas Chodesh, Karban Pesach had two aspects of it. One was the carbon aspect, and that allowed for the achila. And the second one was the atzala aspect, protecting them as an os during makas b'choros. So now this impacts many other areas of halacha. What's the din of Baal Mum? Can the Karban Pesach of Mitzrayim, again, we're not talking about Ledoros, we're talking about specifically Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim. Were we able to tolerate a Mum on a Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim? So the Yishalmi on the Mishnah, this very Mishnah, well, we didn't read a Mishnah yet, in Pesachim, the Pesachim Tzadi Vav Amun Aleph, Perek Tes of Pesachim, the Yishalmi writes, I guess I'll read you the Mishnah first. The Mishnah says, Ma bein Pesach Mitzrayim lePesach Doros. What was the difference of Pesach that happened in Mitzrayim versus the Pesach that happened leDoros? Pesach Mitzrayim required, it had to be taken the 10th. It required Hazav Agudas Ezov, you had to put the hyssop into the blood and sprinkle it. Al HaMashkov Al Shem Mezuzos, you had to put it onto the doorpost. V'necha B'chipazon, you had to eat it really quickly in Mitzrayim. V'layla Echad, and you only had one night. Pesach was celebrated for one night only. However, Pesach Doros was Noe Kol Shiva. Pesach for the generations was celebrated all 7 days. So those are some of the differences. Then the Yushami goes on itself to explain, there's one opinion that thinks that Dukim V'Tavlulim, which are specific Mumim, he probably includes other Mumim as well, that Mumim would passel the Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim. Is Tani, there's another Tana that thinks Ein Dukin V'Tavlulim Postum, that Bali Mum would not disqualify Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says, I understand, if you think they would be possible, Mumim would be possible in the Karban Pesach Mitzrayim, that's why the Pasuk says, Dichsiv Seh Tomim, it has to be Tomim, it has to be entire, complete, without Mumim. According to the other opinion, how are you going to go about understanding it? So it goes back and forth. And basically, these two opinions are arguing whether or not the Karban Pesach Mitzrayim, or the Pesach Mitzrayim, was in fact a Karban or not. The opinion that thinks Mumim would affect it would, of course, think it's a carbon. The opinion thinks that Mumim would not affect it would think that really Pesach was a dinin hatsala, a dinin shmira. Now, what about the hakdaros emurim? We mentioned before in the Gemara that on a normal carbon, we would take the limbs and burn them on top of the mizbeach. So what would we do? What did they do with the Emurim in Mitzrayim? There was no Mizbeach there. We said already that the doorpost served to do the Zrika, perhaps. But the doorpost can't serve to burn limbs on top of the doorpost or next to the doorpost. So what exactly do they do there? So let's read the Gemara again here on the bottom of page 3. And Bar Rabbi Zeira, asks again, this is the question, Emurei Pesach Mitzrayim Heicha Akterinu. How or where did exactly they burn the limbs of the Pesach in Mitzrayim? Amalei Abaye, Uman Leimalan Delosha Shvizikti Ovid. How do you know they didn't roast it? Maybe they roasted it. How are we to understand that line? Maybe they roasted it. So there's a Machokas who's shown him here. Rabbeinu Chananel there in Sachem Daf Tzadi Vavam Na'af writes, maybe they roasted them like any other food and they ate them. And the Miriam writes, no, the Yiramikan should solum bishofud visar from Gavoa. No, they burned them le Gavoa. Normally, Murim don't get eaten of a carbon, they simply get burnt up. So Rabbeinu Chananel nonetheless says, carbon Pesach Mitzrayim was eaten. Because perhaps Rabbi Nachman thinks that the Pesach Mitzrayim was not a carbon, in fact. It was for shmir purposes, and you were able to eat anything. There's no Indian of carbon. And the Miri thought, no, the Pesach Mitzrayim was, in fact, the same exact thing as the carbon Pesach Ladaros. It was the same exact thing as any other carbonos. So just like other carbonos, you entirely get burnt legavol, the Emurim, so too Pesach Mitzrayim also gets burnt le Emurim. And that's what Machlokas, Rabbi Nachman and the Miri is about. The Chuz Chassam Sofer in Chayik Beis Yerdeya Simon Reish Lamed Hey discusses a particular psul of Nevad. Nevad is when an animal gets worshipped as an idol. The normal din is, even if they're mevatalit, even if the goy sells such an animal, a Nevad, it's still possible because most. It's disgusting in the eyes of God. You cannot offer that as a karbon. Once it's Nevad, once it's served as an idol, you can, or worshipped in some way, so then you can no longer use that as a carbon. So Chassam Sofer writes, halfway down this paragraph, bold, aval Pesach Mitzrayim, in regards to Pesach Mitzrayim, shelo haya mizbeach lizrogdam, there was no mizbeach for sprinkling the blood, adas melitza amir chazal, gimel mizbeach asayol lehem mashko for beiz mezuzos. They didn't really mean it seriously that the three doorposts served as a mizbeach. Aval mizbeach lo haya. There was no, in fact, there was no mizbeach. Lo lizrog, lo lahakdir. It seems to me that they actually ate all the limbs and the fat of the Karim Pesach. He's mechavin to the Rebbeinu Chananel. Even though if something was worshipped was Nevad, it was usher to them. In regards to Karim Pesach Mitzrayim particularly, we were able to tolerate an animal that was Nevad. Because carbon Pesach Mitzrayim wasn't a carbon, in fact. It was for the purpose of Shmira. And therefore, the normal dinim of carbonos don't apply. So that although Nevad would normally disqualify an animal from a carbon, Pesach Mitzrayim was not disqualified. Nevad would not be a problem. After they mevatel it, it was no longer considered mius legavoa. So we see now, in terms of the psulim, the Yerushalmi had two opinions, when that psulim mumim applied. And now the Chassam Sofer assumed that Nevad, which is one of the psulim also, would not apply. Now there's another special din that applies to the Pesach Mitzrayim, and that's a bikur. So what exactly is bikur? So you read the bottom page 4, number 13. We could skip the Mishnah because I read that to you guys inside. The Gemara on the bottom page 4 says as follows. Minolan, how do you know these dinim, that you have to take it on the 10th of Nisan? You have to take the Pesach Mitzrayim on the 10th of Nisan. Dichsiv dabru el kol adas Yisrael lemor be'asor l'chodesh ha-zeh v'yikhu. Then the 10th day you should take it, zeh mechel b'asor, zeh, the word zeh. This you should take on the 10th. This, the Pesach Mitzrayim, you should take on the 10th of Nisan. Ve'ein Pesach doros mechel b'asor. But you don't take Pesach the doros on the 10th. You could take it on the 14th. You could find an animal. Nowadays, or when the Beis HaMikdash was, you could, on the 14th, find an animal, a set on that day, and offer it as a carbon that very day. Only Pesach Mitzrayim, you had to take it on the 10th. El Miata, the Gemara says, V'haya lachem l'mishmeres ad arbasa yom l'chodesh hazeh. But there's another pasuk that says you have to watch it for 4 days. From the 10th to the 14th, you have to watch it for 4 days. Hachanami, the pasuk says, Zeh, Tan Bikra Arba Yamim Kodim Shchita. This, only the Pesach Mitzrayim requires 4 days of watching over it. Vein Acher Tan Bikra, but no other carbon would require watching over it. Only Pesach Mitzrayim, because the pasuk says Zeh. That Tan Ben Bag Bagomer Minayin LeTamid SheTan Bikra Arba Yamim Kodim Shchita. How do I know that the carbon Tamid also requires 4 days of watching over to look over this animal? Shenemar Tishmeru LaAkivli BeMoado. There's a gzera shav of the word tishmeru to the word mishmeres, just like by the Pesach Mitzrayim required to watch over it for 4 days, so too a carbon tamid requires to watch over it for 4 days. Malahalon tam biker abe yamim kol min shchita, just like there, the Pesach Mitzrayim requires 4 days watching over it. Afkan tam biker abe yamim kol min shchita, so too the tamid requires 4 days of watching it over. So what does it mean, Zeh? What doesn't the Gemara says Zeh seems to say only Pesach Mitzrayim requires the Bikra Dal Yamim. So Gemara says, Shiny Hasim Dichsiv Tishmeru. It says Tishmeru the Gzera Shava to include it. And then the Gemara says, what about Pesach Doros, Nami? Does Pesach Doros require these Dal Bikra Yamim? Everyone agrees that the Pesach in Mitzrayim has to be watched for 4 days. The Pasuk said that. And everyone agrees it's a gzera shava that carbon tamid also. So gzera shava has to have the din. You have to watch over the animal for 4 days prior to shechnir. What about Pesach Ladoros? So the Gemara suggests Pesach Ladoros, and there's a machlokes shishonim how to read the Gemara, whether or not it extends to Pesach Ladoros or not. We'll get to that. But what's the nature of this din of watching over the Pesach Mitzrayim? Why would they have to watch it over for 4 days? So the Rashi writes there in Pesachim, the reason is limishmeres bikur. Why do you have to watch it over it? Shelo yebo mum. You should check it over to make sure that there's no mum. Umivakin oso kol arba. And every single day of the 4 days, you'd have to check over to make sure there's no mum. How does Rashi understand the Pesach Mitzrayim? It's a carbon, right? The fact that you have to look over to make sure there's no mumim there. And that was the point of the Dalad Yamim. He must be assuming that it's a din in a carbon. Another possible approach, I didn't see any Rishonim who said this explicitly, but another possible approach would be that it was somehow just a din in Hachana as preparation. And if we have time, we'll do some Machshava relating to the carbon Pesach, which will establish this, highlight this stuff a little more, but somehow it's a special hachana that was necessary for the Karban Pesach Mitzrayim particularly. And it wasn't something that extended over to the Pesach Ladoros perhaps. It wasn't about checking for mum, it was a certain amount of hachana that was necessary to finish, to do the Karban Pesach Mitzrayim. And a couple of nafkaminas would be whether or not such a din would be ma'akev. So the Gemara in Sukkah, Membeis Amud Aleph, writes that Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hashochet is a tamid she'enu mevukar kilchaso b'shabbos chayv chatas v'tzorach tamid acher. If someone was to shech the tamid on Shabbos, and this tamid was never checked over for mumim, he's chayv chatas. You have to bring another carbon tamid. And Tosas writes, Va'afilu nimsa tam. Even if you find, after you shechted, that the animal was a tam, it had no mumim to it, still, nonetheless, it's going to be problematic. Ditan biker dal yamim kodem shchita. You have to have the dal yamim. So what's Tosas assuming here? He assumes that the biker is not a practical din. You don't check it over for the purpose of to make sure there's no mumim there. Because if that were the case, why would this be problematic? Tosus, the case is as follows. He shechted the tamid, and Tosus says, even if you find out afterwards that the animal had no mum, it was entirely tam, still it's puzzle. Why would it be? According to Rashi, the whole reason is to check for mum, and okay, you forgot to check. But in the end of the day, there's no mum, so why would that be problematic? So it seems to imply that Tosfos thinks the purpose of Bikur is not to check for Mumim. There was a special din of a Chana of some sort that, I don't know why, but the Pesach Mitzrayim had to be 4 days, picked 4 days prior to, and watched over for 4 days. It could be along the ideas of Mishmeres, just like if Klal Yisrael put in a certain amount of hashtalos of being shomer their animal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reciprocate being shomer on top of them. But that won't pass the chefza though. I mean, the animal will still be kosher though. It just may you violated something out of the gavro.
Maybe you can't eat this since you didn't do.
Right. I don't know those dinim, but maybe on the person might be a gzera knas of some sort. But it wouldn't disqualify the chefza if there's no mum on it.
Yeah, like knas, like if I didn't.
Right. Then that'd be like a din derban knas. That'd be. You, I mean, you, but you're chayu chatas. It's not just simply a knas. Unless they're saying that they're born to create a knas to uproot, to create a deraisa chat, maybe. So that would be the. I suggest maybe there's another way to look at it. In fact, maybe really the whole purpose is to check for a mumim. But if you didn't do your hishtalis, so you're going to be punished of some sort. The Orza Rua in Hilchos Pesachim is mistapik whether or not. This din is ma'akev or not, and he wants to bring a raya for the Chashmonoim, that the Chashmonoim, when they won the battle, they brought to meet him right away, even though they didn't check them. Right away, they weren't checked. So he thought there's a raya to think that they're not ma'akev. You could still bring a karmen tamid, even if they weren't checked. And he says, look at all the other karbanos. All the other karbanos never have a bikur. If all the karbanos are all the same, so just like any other carbon, a chatas and ola shlamim don't require any day, 4 days of bikur. So why should Pesach Mitzrayim be any different in terms of at least the likuva? Lechachilu, you should check it for 4 days, but in the end of the day, you don't really have to. And the Minchas Chinuch writes, on the bottom of page 5, he says, U'matzasi sh'amad b'zeh b'kabas t'marim, al-tosos. And the Kabas t'marim writes, because of sh'aramim lo sfir lekein, the fact that the Rambam never brings such a halacha, the Rambam argues, and in fact, that's not ma'akev. If you didn't do the bikur, it would be okay. You could still bring the carbon talmud. Because, Rashi's is, the Rambam thinks that the bikur is a practical thing to check for mumim. And if you didn't check, as long as at the end of the day, when you checked it, there were no mumim, and it would still be a kasher din. And then the Tri Evan gets into a discussion in Megillah. Can you do it out of order? Ideally, you should check. The dal yamim should come before. You should first be makdish the animal, and then check it. But the Tri Evan wants to be mechadish. No, you could actually check it for 4 days, and then be makdish it on day 14, and then check it again. The way it's supposed to be done, based on the psukim, is day 10 you get an animal, you get a pesach seh, you makdish it on day 10, and you check it for 4 days, and you shecht it. That's the way it's supposed to be done. The Tri Rebbe says the opposite works also. You could get it on day 10, but don't be makdish it. It's still a chul, an animal. Then you could check it for 4 days while it's a chul, an animal. And then day 14, makdish it and shecht it. So does that make sense? Does that really make sense? You could do that out of order. So if the whole idea of bikur is a practical thing, so who cares what order you're doing? You're checking it. Whether it's hekdesh or not hekdesh, you could check it. It's all practical din. But if you think it's a din, somehow part of the achana, part of the avoda process, so we might be very particular about how it's done. Maybe day 10, like the pasuk says, you have to be makdish it, and then only after you're makdish it does the 4 days of checking, or not even checking, I would call it mishmeres, watching over it. It only works after you've been makdish it. And then the last issue, which I alluded to earlier, was, does the din of bikur apply ledoros? Does it apply ledoros or not? So I think this goes back to the original issue. You understand that the Pesach in Mitzrayim was a real carbon, so it's going to be pretty much the same as the Pesach Ledoros, which, of course, everyone agrees is a carbon. Both Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Ledoros is a carbon. So Pesach Mitzrayim had the din to check it for 4 days to make sure there's no mumim. That din should apply equally to the din Ledoros, because they're both carbonos. It's all practical din. And Rashi, in fact, writes in the last Mar Mokum, that v'chihecha di ledoros betamid bai bikur hu adin le'vale le'pesach doros. Rashi writes that the din of bikur applies to pesach ledoros, because Rashi earlier said, what was the purpose of bikur? To make sure there are no mumim. So if it's a practical din, He's in the realm of Karbanos. He understood the Pesach Mitzrayim as a Karban. That's why you have to check it for Mum to make sure there's no Mum. So through that din, it's got to translate over to the Pesach Ladaris, which is also a Karban. Other Rishonim argue and say, no, the din Dalet Bikur Yomim is limited to Pesach Mitzrayim only. Because Pesach Mitzrayim was only the Shmira, as the Targum Yonason said. It was to protect. It was 4 days of the Mishmeres. It was the Klai Yisrael putting their own Nishtalus of Mishmeres to hope for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reciprocate his own Shmira when he did during Bakas Bechoros. And that, of course, is limited to only to the Pesach Mitzrayim. So the din Dalet Bikur Yomim would not apply to Pesach Ladaris. Now, I'm not sure if Lewis is coming back or not. I know he wasn't here for the morning, but let's just transition to some machshava related to the Karban Pesach, and if he comes, he could start doing this parsha. Otherwise, we'll end whenever I finish. So there are a couple of interesting questions you could raise in Parshas Chodesh and overall in the holiday of Pesach. First of all, why were these two mitzvahs given in Parshas Chodesh to Klal Yisrael to help redeem them? Why was HaChodesh HaZelachem given and the Karban Pesach given? Why these two mitzvahs? What's the relationship? How did that help them get freed from Mitzrayim? Another mitzvah that's very relevant is the Bris Milah. One of the prerequisites for eating the Karban Pesach was to have a Bris Milah. It's not the only mitzvah, Truma also. There are other mitzvahs also which require to have a Bris Milah. There's a particular connection between Karban Pesach and Bris Milah. They're both mitzvahs aseh sheyesh bo karis. They're the only two mitzvahs aseh that have a karis tagged onto them. Furthermore, we saw earlier that Targum Yonason writes that not only the Dam Pesach went on the doorpost, but even the Dam Milah went on the doorpost. So what's the connection of Dam Milah, Bris Milah, to the Karban Pesach? Thirdly, why exactly was the seh used as the Karban? Where else is the seh used? By other karbanos. It's, I don't think any other of the karbanos on the holidays do we use a seh. What's the significance of the seh? And fourthly, there's a famous Torah which I probably mentioned several times that writes that each of the Yom Tovim, the Shlosh Golem, are connected to the Gimel Avos. Who's Pesach connected? Anybody? Avram. All right, we get it from the beginning, Parshas Vayera. In Parshas Vayera, with the Matzos and the Malachim coming. Right, Shlosim, Kemach, Soles, Lushi, Nevasi, Ugos. I think it doesn't. Rashi writes that was Pesach at that time. Just based on that and whatever, and the Svarim, that Avram was connected Pesach. Why exactly? What's the association of Avram to Pesach? So the Mechilta, I couldn't find the Mechilta in the Beis Medrash, but the Mechilta writes, and Rashi also quotes this on the Mishnah, on Parshas Chodesh, what's the Lashon of Mashchu, where's that Pasuk? You have to pull and you have to be fully set and to be cornered the set. Okay. Oh, right, Pasuk of Al Mishchu Kulachem Tzon. And the Mechilta says, it's not Rashi there, I thought Rashi somewhere. The Mechilta says they have to remove themselves, divorce themselves from the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. They were so engrossed in the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, they had to pull themselves away. It wasn't enough to on that very day to pull themselves on day 14. They had to do it on day 10. They needed 4 days of pulling themselves, removing themselves from the Avodah Zarah, and 4 days of preparing themselves to finally shecht the Karban. What was the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim? The seh. Right, so that's why particularly the seh had to be used to be a Karban, because they were divorcing themselves from the seh of the Avodah Zarah. That's why 10 days earlier they had to prepare for it. What is the mazel of the month of Nisan? There are 12 different mazalos. A seh, a tleh, a seh, tleh, a seh also. And the way it used to work, that the mazalos had certain kochos in those months. The month of Nisan, where the Seh, the idol, the god of Mitzrayim, was the month of Nisan, that had the biggest koach in that month. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him the second mitzvah of HaChodesh Zelachem. It's no longer in the hands of these mazalos. It's the hand of you, Klal Yisrael. You have this, the koach of the month. And these two mitzvahs were both as an attack to help give them the ability to separate from Mitzrayim. One is to shech the Seh, to mamish kill the avodah zara of Mitzrayim, and second, to give him the take away the koach of the months, of the mazel of the tleb, and give that koach to Klal Yisrael. Hegyoni Lach and Chelik Shlishi has a beautiful piece discussing this idea and developing even further how it's removing themselves from the avodah zara. The Netziv in his Hakdama to Sefer Shmos writes that why is Shmos the only one that doesn't have its own unique title to its Sefer? Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer Yetzira. Vayikras Toras Kohanim Bamidbar's Pekudim Devarim is Mishnah Torah. What's Sefer Shmos? I think the Ramban says Sefer Gula, but the Netziv says there's no other title for it. Because he says Sefer Shmos is a continuation of Sefer Bereishis. Bereishis is a creation of a world, and Shmos is a creation of a nation. So everything you find in Shmos is really going to be traced back to something you find in Bereishis. In fact, the Gemara in Chulin writes that Moshe Minayin b'Torah. Where's Moshe in the Torah? It's a strange question, right? Where's, oh, the end of Parshas Noach, it says Bishkam, Gematria Moshe. We need a hint for Moshe Rabbeinu? So I think that the Gemara wants to know where is everything hinted in Sefer Bereishis particularly. At least for Moshe Rabbeinu. So there seems to be an overlap. So what part of Sefer Bereishis is this story of Mitzrayim hinted at, or particularly Karim Pesach? Avram Avinu. What did Avram Avinu do? He separated from his father, Terach, who was engrossed in idol worship. That's how we begin part of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. I don't have it in front of me, the Haggadah, but we begin with Terach, one of the beginning parts of Haggadah, and how Avram separated from that. So just like Avram separated from the idol worship and the avodah zara, so too Mitzrayim, we're doing the same thing on a national level. Karim Pesach, we're separating from the avodah zara of Mitzrayim. And that's why Avram is connected to Pesach. But it's not only separating from Pesach, they're separating from avodah zara, it's also entering into a new covenant with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And how did Avram Avinu enter into the new covenant? Bris Milah. The Bris Milah helped begin Yadus and the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. That's why Bris Milah is very relevant to Karban Pesach. That's why Targum Yonasan says to put the blood, to mix the blood together with the Karban Pesach. The Mechilta writes, what's the significance of the different doorposts? The different doorposts were connected to the Gimel Avos, he writes. And they each had, my Mechilta at home has a Birchas Netziv, and Netziv's parish on the bottom. He elaborates on this idea of trying to remember what I saw. But the top, the Mashkof, was connected to Avram Avinu. He was the top. Because again, Avram is Pesach. And I think the Netziv explains based on Tshuva. Why the Mashkof? What's the Lashon Mashkof? Where else do we see the Lashon of Mashkof? You should know this, because your Rebbe gave Shir here back on Hanukkah. Was it Hanukkah? What? In the Torah. Rav Tarragon told us about this. Sdom. Vayash gave Avram. He gazed at Sodom in destruction. Avram Avinu again. Yeah, here's Avram Avinu. And when the second time, what's the next time the word is used? That, right, and that was the more positive Hashkafa. I saw just last night the Baal Turim. I don't know what he means, but he felt the need to include Avram in Hashkifa. Somehow Avram is hinted here. The Gematria of Hashkifa is... one second... Right, so the Gematria of Hashkifa is 500. Kenege the distance of the Shemaim to the Aretz, okay? And then he writes V'tagin al Kuf. There's one of those tagin on top of the in the Sefer Torah. There's like these ink marks. It's on top of the Kuf. What's Kuf Kenege? It's Kenege Lomar B'zuchus Avram Sheholid L'meya Shana. B'zuchus Avram who gave birth to, he had a child at 100 years old. I don't really fully get that, but somehow he felt the need to include Avram in there. So Avram's clearly Vayashkev. He's Mashkov and he is Hashkifa. So, what's this all about? So, what's Hashkafa mean? It's supposed to be outlook of perspective. Vayeshko means to look. So, Avram Avinu, what was he trying to do with Stone Va'amora? Avram was kulo chesed. He didn't see bad in anybody, even Stone Va'amora. He pleaded and he was unsuccessful. He had to change his outlook. I'm not somebody to say that Avram has to change his outlook, of course. But that was all the Nisyonos he had to go through. He was too chesed. How high were at such a level, but he was too chesed, he had to get to a point where he had to recognize also the emes and din. The fact that Avram Avinu had to offer his own son as a Kedas Yitzchak is unfathomable, and that such a person like him could actually do that, but he gained that, he got to that level. He was trying to change his hashkafa to a certain perspective. So he's the hashkafa, the outlook, And the hashkifa mimon kachecha, or hashkafa, has to come flow from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his perspective. So that's really the idea of Karim Pesach, of divorcing ourselves from the Avodah Zarah and giving the new hashkafa, the new outlook, like Avraham Avinu was able to do, and to look forward in Pesach to realize the emunah, the real hashkafa. And that translates into, I'm not going to get into it right now, maybe another time, but that hashkafa should be translated into one a family, in a family setting, a way of speaking, expressing ourselves, the hashkafa, and passing it on to generations. Whoever was here last night, Rabbi Fran, spoke about the emunah that's spoken about to your family members at the Pesach. So...